Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is program 364. If you'd like a copy of it at the end of the program, Sharon will show you four different ways that you can receive one, a CD or a tape copy. Please specify what you want. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is also free of charge. We had some singing, some music today, some good music, and a powerful message from the throne of the Lord, and some testimonies. So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, I know that it's for sure that You want me to teach the Word of God, because we were like poverty-stricken before I started doing this, and I was assuming that the brothers and sisters in the church were a part of the body of Christ, that they were actually, when new ones would come in, they would have Bible reading classes with them, and that they would sit down with them and explain the Bible to them. And I found out after several years that people kept leaving the church, the new ones. And so I found out that they weren't reading and praying and treating the young ones in the church like gently, like little children, and teaching them and using every form of tape, audio tape, videotape that I've ever done, and to have them read my literature to them. And I said, Lord, they're not teaching the baby Christians. And You said, You do it. And I said, yes, Lord. How am I going to do it? He says, on tape. So actually, you are going to a seminary now, because many universities, I have already stated, you people out in the world, that you're going to a university right now with higher than university teaching through the Holy Spirit of God. And so you should be thankful for that, because these messages will help you stand. And Father, I pray that You'll give me as much as You want, as badly as You want, to people of the world to begin being one as a church, enjoying and keeping the church life with You in the midst. And You even symbolize it by sending flying saucers down to the earth, the wheel within the wheel, during the time of Ezekiel in chapter 1. And that wheel is representative of the inside wheel is You. You must be in the midst of Your children, or nothing of the Lord will ever be done. And they must strive to become children of the Lord. In other words, where I read in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, it says for us to put on the full armor of God, that we'll be able to withstand the wiles of Satan. And this whole armor of God, we're armored when we are knit together as one body. Of course, this does not mean, as the world teaches, that all religions shall band together, because religions are not of the Lord. Religion is of the devil. But salvation is of the Lord. And those of us that are saved, we need to stick together as never before. And we need to know that we're brothers and sisters. And we must teach one another the things that we know, or to mention the things that have happened during the day that are of the Lord. And to talk about the things that have happened during the day, what young people or old people on the street are saying about the literature or the radio program. And then let me know what they're saying. If you don't know how to answer them, pass it on to me, and I will do that on the program. I'll teach them. For instance, there's a letter today that's asking questions that they actually and sincerely don't know. And you should listen to the program yourself, because the Lord told me that you people are not Christians to the point where you're not passing along the message to the people out on the streets or even to one another. And you're after something in this for yourself. And when I started, the Lord told me, then you teach them. I said, how? Because I was writing tracts, pieces of literature, and the general running of the church. Well, I says, yes, Lord, anyway. And so I started having this radio broadcast. And far and wide, east, west, north, and south, we're getting tremendous responses from it. And many people are coming to the Lord. And this is, I give all the glory to the Lord, because he actually tells me what to teach and what to preach. And I feel his spirit, his hand in mine, so to speak. And he's not a fictitious character. Everything that's alive today is fictitious because it's not going to last forever. That is, unless we have the Spirit of God mingled with our temporal spirit of life. Every person has to die. It's appointed unto all men that they must die. And after this, the judgment. Well, if there's no Spirit of God in us, and if we haven't spread mercy throughout the entire world, there'll be no mercy for us at the judgment bar. And so there's so many people that just like to keep themselves unconscious and not be conscious about the life that's living in them. Even many people are born again and they don't even know it. If they knew it, they would be careful about the things they said and the things they did all day long. And they'd be teaching people the same thing that they must do. We must deny ourselves and we must hate the world. We use the word because we're in the world like sheep among wolves, the Lord, you said, Lord. And so I pray that you'll continue on. I know you will because you've called me to do this. That you'll continue on anointing this program, that the souls out in the radio land will be saved and then pass it on to their friends, and that the souls in the church will wake up. They're like so many sleeping dogs, because the first will be last. Those that were saved 20, 34, 37 years ago will be lost, and the last ones, these new babes that are coming into the fold, will be first. But I pray, we've been together so long, many of you, and there's going to be some zeal out of you, or else the Lord is going to spew you out of his mouth. And there has to be a getting back to the first love, because the Lord said in the second chapter of Revelation that you don't love me anymore. That's why some of the things that I have against you, you don't love me or the brothers and sisters anymore. Now repent, or I'll come quickly and take the candlestick, that's your church, away from you. You won't even have a church any longer. You'll be out on the streets. And many of you that know that you're gone forever turn into winos and you sit on the curbs out on 5th and Main here in Los Angeles. You're homeless. But those that are homeless, we've offered you a place to stay. The Lord has opened the door for you, and you still would prefer to be homeless than to be near the dear Lord and Savior. So there's no excuse for people. And Lord, I ask all these things, that souls be saved and the church strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Here's a song that Joe Leahy arranged for me. Before I was saved, I saw it in a motion picture with Mary Alonso. He sang it. And it just moved me. When I heard it in the movie, and I thought, if I ever record gospel music, well, that's one that I will record. And thank God that I did, and it's a fantastic arrangement by Joe Leahy. And these are all of our own musicians playing behind me, singing a song that everyone must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is, I'll walk with God.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. My prayer, I humble plea, may the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. No fear when I'm near to Him. I lean on Him forever, and He forsake me never. He
putting on the entire armor of God is for us to do, to be so that we'll be able to go through these trials on this earth and to go through all the depressing things that most people are not standing under. They are murdering by the hundreds of millions of little babies' lives. And the little babies want to live. I saw a picture of one of them grabbing on to the doctor's hand that was slicing him into pieces, attempting to get him to stop this mass murder. People talk about these different criminals like Machine Gun Kelly and all the other people. You couldn't think of some. The Italian guy in Chicago who killed so many people. Al Capone and Hitler and all these people, but this government is killing more people than Hitler ever thought of killing. This government were the actual muscle for the United Nations. If we, the United States of America, would pull out of the UN, then and just say this is a sovereign country, the United States of America, and for us alone, we will defend our shores. But we're not doing that, and we're being used to take over other countries for the Vatican so that they can plant in their dictatorship, which they call democracy. A democracy is just a something they came up with, Rome did, in order to, it's a clever way to run the world, to take over the world. And they have stated that democracy is the best way to run the world, but it's not, because it's dictatorship. And it puts dictatorship in the hands of the people that are the worst kind of people on the face of the earth. The Vatican has historically been the worst bunch of devils that have ever lived. And the Bible says that they are the mother, the actual, these troubles, these wars, or everything like that comes out of her womb. She murders. Euthanasia, they murder our old people. They get a little bit sick, and they put them in hospitals, and they put signs of do not feed. And I've seen this same thing on the television, where they had this little baby, and because it was mongoloid, the parents didn't want the baby anymore. And so they put up a no feed sign, and they starved the little baby to death, and there were a lot of people that wanted to adopt the baby. And so you're living in Satan's government. Then you take a bunch of Christians that are just preaching the gospel, David Koresh over there, and in Texas, and the government came in and annihilated them, burned them out, and killed little children, their mothers and their dads. If this isn't Satan's government, and if you're siding in with Satan's government, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because you have taken on, you don't read the Bible, you don't care what the Lord says about these sort of things. No murderer. And no one that sides in with murderers shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's so many people that are guilty of murder, and they give them 4 to 6 years in prison. Me, I was hijacked into prison. They gave me 6 years, and I got off for 4 years with good behavior and 6 months in a halfway house. I was put in jail, yes, just like Jesus and the Apostle Paul and all the different apostles. And many of the prophets were put in jail. So we belong to an exclusive club that the rest of you people don't. But we're very highly esteemed in the eyes of God. And you better cease what you're doing, because these flying saucers flying over the earth now and then are symbolic of the Lord coming back to earth again. And he came into the world incarnate. And we, the church, are incarnate. We're carrying around the actual spirit of Christ with his Father by the Spirit in us. And if you're attacking us, you're attacking God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe that, you'll find out, because when you attack me, you're going to have to pay for it. Some terrible thing will happen in your family. Some terrible thing will happen to your city. Some terrible thing will happen to you. Something is going to happen to you, and you're not going to like it at all. When God pours out his wrath, when he pours out his blessings each way, it's going to be tailor-made for you. God doesn't do anything just, off the cuff. It's all set. It's like set like the newspaper in the morning. Only thing is that it's the truth. And he says, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Don't do that. You say, well, you're a prophet. How do we know you're not a false prophet? The reason you don't know that I'm a true prophet is because you don't read the Word of God. The devil has gotten to you with this one world government thing and this Antichrist movement. But the Bible says that the great red dragon, the devil, is the one that gives the power of this Roman animal and its associates throughout the world. Now, the New Testament, Jesus, God, became a man, okay? And he has been operating that way ever since. He says, my works must continue on earth, and I'm going to fill you with my spirit. Those of you that really want to do my will, you come to me and give your life to me, and I'll wash you from all your former sins, and then I'll place my spirit within you. Your stony heart will become a heart of flesh. a soft heart, a heart that my spirit will live in. And I'll change your mind, I'll change your spirit, I'll change your heart. Because you're going to, just like I did, you're going to become incarnate. Incarnated. Jesus became incarnated. God in heaven became a man. And on top of this, his divinity came into humanity and mingled himself therein. His humanity mixed himself. He came into humanity. He moved into a human body and then mixed himself therein to those that vow that they're going to follow him. If you're just a human being and you don't have any desire to serve the Lord, then you don't have any fear of God. That's what the whole story is. Then God's Holy Spirit passed through human living. It's a process. God himself processed himself out of heaven and into this sin-stained, horrible, sinful world, and he passed through human living. He moved himself. He did it on purpose by the Holy Spirit into a living human being. Then he passed through crucifixion, and then he passed through resurrection in the resurrection. He was glorified and became the what? Christ became the life-giving spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. He became the life-giving spirit or the quickening spirit. It's the same. That means the same thing. Have you got it?
Yes.
Okay, come over here and read it, please. 1 Corinthians 15:45.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
And the last Adam was Jesus, the God himself incarnated in the flesh. The spirit has everything in it. Everything is included in the life-giving spirit, every godly thing. How many different things are included in this spirit? The Son is in this spirit. The Father is in this spirit. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is in this spirit. In this triune spirit, so the human that Christ became through incarnation, that is, by moving into a human body, is in the spirit. It's a human being, but not just a temporal spirit moved into him, like we have, but the Holy Spirit of eternal life moved into him, and the same thing happens, because you have the spirit of temporal life, but the same thing will happen to you when you become God incarnate, Christ incarnated. You'll let Christ live in you. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that you don't belong to yourself because the Lord bought you with a price? He gave himself as a living sacrifice because he knew if he hadn't, that there'd be no possibility that you could be born again of the Spirit and enter the kingdom of heaven and to totally escape the burning pits of hell and the lake of fire. So he through incarnation in the Spirit. He is in this Spirit. His human living was in the Spirit. While he had this particular spirit, now while he was on earth, he didn't walk as a man does because he had the Holy Spirit. And no man at that time was filled with the Holy Spirit like he was. And so he had to take it, show the process of how we can become like him, exactly like him. And he had to take it slow because we humans don't really have, our mind is made out of dirt. And dirt isn't that smart. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Some people have intuition and things like that, but still, that won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus with his Father by the Spirit must be alive in you, and you must surrender yourself unto the Spirit. The effectiveness of his death was in this Spirit. Absolutely. His resurrection was in this Spirit. His glorification was in this Spirit. His ascension into heaven was in this Spirit. He being on the throne of God is in this Spirit. In other words, his enthronement, his kingdom, was in this Spirit. And his authority was in this Spirit. Authority over everything in heaven and on earth. Everything is in this Spirit. They are all included in this Spirit. This quickening Spirit, or this life-giving Spirit, this Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. And that's in Acts 16, verse 7. The Spirit of Jesus is in it. You have that?
Yes.
16:7. Read it, please.
After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
See, the Spirit, if you're in the Spirit, that's wonderful because the Spirit tells you when to go and where to go and where not to go. He will not let you do it. Now, 16:7, the Spirit of Christ is in it. So when the Spirit is telling you to do something, it's the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and read it, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it talks about. You got it?
Yes.
And then Philippians is next, chapter 1, verse 19.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Yeah, you don't belong to him if you don't have the Spirit of life. If you don't have the Spirit of eternal life in you. Philippians 1:19 is in it. Read that.
For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
See, it says the Spirit of Jesus Christ because he is the life-giving Spirit. Take a little swallow of coffee there. Okay, the Lord is in it. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God had only the element of divinity. It was just, that was all. He had the divine Spirit. But today, all the elements of God, man, human living, the element of being able to die, then resurrect. See, God can't die, so he had to become a human being so that he could die. God can never die, and that's why you need his Spirit in you, his never-dying Spirit in you, so that you can live forever in the kingdom of heaven. So he had to become a man. He had to bring everything that was godly to the table. The element of being able to die, he needed that because he had to die for the sins of the world. And he couldn't as a God, because God is divine and you can't kill him. He can't die. So he became incarnate so that he would be able to die. then resurrected his blood. He would have blood, genuine human blood, as a matter of fact, in him. And then after his death and going to hell, he would resurrect out of hell and out of the grave, then be glorified and ascend to be with Christ on the throne. The enthronement and the kingdom of heaven with the authority are all in the spirit of Jesus Christ. They say, what do you mean to be with Jesus Christ? Well, yes. Jesus was always on the throne with his Father. You can't separate God from the Son or the Son from God, the Father. They're always there. And some of the people that won't understand that, they don't understand that God is everywhere. He's so big, but he just came down and used a human being here on earth to show us that a human being can keep the commandments with the power of God in them, and that they can have an overcoming life like it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, because when you have the Spirit with you, the Lord is with you, then you have the full armor of God. And you are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the degradation of him, the character assassination, the dirty, filthy lies he tells about you, the false accusations, the false imprisonments, all the different things that you're going to, that are involved with the Spirit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we say, right now we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there on the throne, but we also say he's in us, amen?
Amen.
So right there shows that he's everywhere, and he was there on the throne as well as being in this human body named Jesus Christ that he placed in Mary's womb, and then also appointed Joseph, who was an old man, to take care of him and this young girl. Now today you see people saying, well, this is a horrible sin for an old man to be married to a young girl. Well, the Bible talks about that all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Noah was 550 years old before he ever had a child. Amen?
Amen.
And, that's pretty old. That's older than me. I'm only 72. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't mind it if the Lord allowed me to live to 550, but not in this world. In the world to come, yes. I'll live 5 zillion years there. And you will, too, if you allow the Lord to do his thing in you. So we're given also all this authority of in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we have the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's like an incredible amount of power, but you have to believe that. We have everything that God has and that Christ has. Because Christ is God. He is the fullness of every spirit of God. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we must experience everything of the Spirit. That is, if you want to experience it, then you can. If you don't want to, well, then you won't. Because God made you a free moral agent. He's not going to be running after you. He doesn't want you to be made up as a robot of some kind. He wants you to receive him willingly, and because of the great price he paid, you want to pay a price too to show him that you appreciated that and that you are like him, that you're willing to go through anything for him. But you have to read a lot of Bible for you to be able to get that kind of chutzpah. In other words, intestinal fortitude, to be able to not care what the people of this world say or what any other person that you're afraid of says. Because if you don't let everybody know that you're a Christian, and if you don't care about preaching Christ and that he's coming back to earth soon, well, then what are you? You're nothing. So, yeah, you don't want to? Well, God isn't going to force you to become a Christian. He lets you reject it. And then he sends you strong delusions if you reject, because the price, the that Jesus went through as a man, that God went through as a man here on earth, was excruciating. It was horrible. The process that he went through was far greater than anything that you or I will ever have to go through. So when we as humans experience the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ working and moving within us, we will sense some kind of killing going on within us, because he wants our old life, our old likes and our old dislikes to disappear. He said the things that we loved before must die, and the things that we hated before we must love. Because I remember I hated to just think of talking about Jesus, talking about the Bible. I didn't even know what it said, and I didn't know how glorious it was. But the glorious power of God, the resurrected power, the glory of the Lord, when it enters you, is so wonderful to experience it that you never, ever want to let it go. And if you did, the only way that you would is that you get away from God. You get away from the Word. The Word is God. So we will sense some kind of killing going on within us. The Lord's Holy Spirit mortifies or kills the former life and the desires for the former life. Even though you may not have heard my message on teaching about the killing of the cross, we have to take up the cross and let the cross do the killing of us. Denying ourselves the things of the world. It is deny the world. Love not the world, because all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you have any of these things hanging on you, you can't possibly go into heaven. The Lord was not going to let lust go into heaven. And yet, it's the most incredible feeling of satisfaction and wonderful power. Because we experience the Spirit of Jesus working in us. We sense something within us, killing our nothing character. We're nothings. What are we without Jesus? I look at these people out there screaming for football players, basketball players, and baseball players, or boxers, and they're just screaming their heads off, and they don't even know what they're doing. Who are they? They're all going to die. I remember when Sonny Liston died, he wanted the last roll down in Las Vegas down the strip. What good? He didn't even know he's going down the strip. When you're dead, you know nothing. Our old frail man, there's nothing that's good about that. Only what we do for Jesus is lasting. And we must make our career Jesus. We're still in the flesh, and it's just mortifying our poor character. That's all it's doing. Do you want to keep your poor character, or do you want to be like Jesus?
Be like Jesus,
amen, because he's powerful. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to him, not you or I. It's mortifying, killing our bad habits. Mortifying the times we have a temper over things that are of the Lord. We're to live together in harmony. If you think about it for a while, you'll know it's nothing. It's all right to be angry about the things people are doing that are evil. But this is a killing process to our worldly or fleshly desires. Everybody wants to just mind their own business and not get into anybody else's business. But, dear children of the Lord, you know, we have to get into people's faces with the gospel. You have to give them a piece of literature and tell them that Jesus is coming back to earth again. And if they ask you why you're doing that, well, then you have to tell them, because I don't want to go to hell. Okay? You tell them, what good is your lust doing you? You're controlled by your lusts, and the Lord wants you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's these lusts and many other things in this world, like careers and things like that. What this is we can feel the effect of the death of Christ, which is included in the Spirit of Jesus. We shouldn't be angry about this. We should be happy that these things are happening in us and we can feel them. That this killing process is happening, that this killing process is included in the Spirit of Jesus. This is good medicine that has many things in it, including the element of, it should be like beaten. Bacteria that has been beaten into us, killing once this shot of this type of medicine. The shot is given by the Holy Spirit. It gets into you. It kills the bad bacteria in your body that's made, spiritual bacteria, made out of flesh. There isn't any need to remember the message is about the killing power of the cross. As long as we have the Spirit working and moving in us, I realize that the killing, I can sense it the more I am filled by the Holy Spirit. We have a couple of testimonies. The more I will be mortified or killed, then the more of me is killed and the more of Christ is living in me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. God wants all this, and I want to be mortified so that He can have all of me. When we're continuously mortified, then the Lord continuously lives in us. So we need to, the Bible says that the tongue is an untamable, no man can tame that tongue. And if we, so that means that we have to have the Spirit in us so that we can learn to tame the tongue. And if we can tame the tongue, then we are able, by the Spirit, to tame the whole body, control the whole body. So it has to start with your mouth, your tongue. The Bible says, because the tongue has the power to make alive, and it has the power to kill. Okay, well, we have a couple of testimonies here, and we're going to read them right now. Where's the first one from?
From Barcelona, Spain. It says, blessings, I greatly love your teachings. It's signed Napoleon from Barcelona.
Okay.
And the next one is from Electra, Texas. It says, Steve from Electra, Texas, called the witnessing line and said he had been listening to your radio programs and asked if you could preach on a couple of topics that he has questions about.
I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And all kinds of people want me to preach this way or that way. But I'm led by the Holy Spirit, but I'll answer your questions. If he has some, then what?
He said he would like to know about water baptism. He said he was baptized in an apostate church that is not doing anything for the Lord. Does this water baptism mean anything?
Not if you're not going to do anything for the Lord, it doesn't mean anything. That means the things that I'm just talking about, being mortified. First, you become born again of the Spirit. And when you become born again of the Spirit, what you're saying is that I'm now a heap of ashes and I want the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Spirit in me to guide me into all truth. Well, the truth is laid down in the Word of God, and so you read the Word of God. After you know you're born again of the Spirit, well, then you receive full water baptism. You go to your preacher, your pastor, your teacher, and you tell them you want to be baptized, and then they are to baptize you fully in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in water. You have to be totally covered up. But if you're in an apostate church, they probably, you know, a lot of them don't even baptize them. But some of them do that because they love ceremonies, but they don't teach you the reason why you're being baptized. What it is that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ into the watery grave, the death of the watery grave. And so what you do is you fold your hands on your chest just like a dead man in a coffin. And then you let him put his hand on top of your head and another hand in back of your back. And then he should tell you, do you renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil? And you're to say, yes, if you do. Well, then you're making a vow before the Lord. And then there's more to the ceremony, and I don't have time to do it, but then he would finally say, inasmuch as you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and inasmuch as that you have vowed now to put away the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to follow the Lord in the by the Spirit, you're going to let him live in you, inside you. It'll be an incarnate, and it's the beginning of the process of your processing yourself through a human life as Christ did, as a Spirit of the Lord in you, the whole Spirit of God. I now baptize you in the name. I now baptize, what's your full name? And he tells you whatever it is. And then you say, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And you submerge him all the way into water and blowing up. And that's just to signify to your friends and family and the world that you're not of the world anymore, that you putting away your old worthless life, and now you're going to be living the life, or letting Christ live his life out in you and through you. Okay, and what's the next question?
Also, does a person have to be saved before he is baptized in water?
Yes, of course. I mean, the Vatican, they baptize little babies, and it's of no value because they have to come to the age of accountability. If a child dies before it comes to the age of accountability, it's going to heaven. All right? You say, well, you have to be baptized. Well, there were two thieves hanging on the cross with Jesus, and they were not baptized. Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Amen. To one of them. Okay, so that man never was baptized. It's just a matter of whether you are able to be baptized or not. Okay, so then what?
Can a person be saved when baptized?
No, baptizing a person doesn't save their soul. The Word of God, when you accept the Word, when you accept Christ, that is, and the Lord takes away all your sins in the blood, and then he enters you, and then you become a person of the Lord. You're resurrected from the dead life that you are, but then you have to continue on a daily basis. You're resurrected from your old dead life, and then you show it by saying, this is it, and you get baptized, and then you get baptized with the Holy Spirit so that you can be in the ministry. And then what?
How could a person be saved until they have been baptized in water, because this is when they renounce the world and their self-life?
No, the words, see, we're fighting a battle of words. Your words are important to the Lord. If you say that you're saved, you ask him to come into your heart. That's what I did. I never was near water at all, except in the kitchen and bathroom, but I made a deal with the Lord. I mean, he showed me heaven and hell, and he frightened me. I knew that he existed, and therefore I accepted him right there. And if you'll see, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, there was a eunuch that was believing the Bible, but he was saved, and then he says, now that I'm saved, or now that I've accepted the Lord, there's a body of water over there, can I now be baptized? And he said, yes. So that's what happened. Amen?
Amen.
So salvation comes first and foremost. Then what?
Most of the times that baptism is mentioned in the Bible, is it referring to water baptism?
Well, it refers to water baptism, and yes, and then it also says, you shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they're all necessary. Everything's necessary. Okay, then what?
The other question was, when the Bible speaks of making a new heaven and a new earth, is it saying when the new heaven and new earth is established, it won't necessarily be total destruction of the actual heaven and earth, but will it be a transformation of a new world with an established form of godly government?
Now, the Bible, you need to read it, tells you exactly. In the first, second Peter, it tells about the world being burned up with fire because there was sin here, and the heavens will be burned up with fire, and the Lord is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and then we'll live there where there won't be sin any longer. Okay? And is that it?
Will it be a new heavenly world system established and carried forth for eternity?
Well, that system is being established here on earth. The ones that are faithful, that are carrying the gospel, will be, God uses them in charge in the kingdom of heaven. They have different domains in heaven, and they have those domains forever and ever. Because we took charge here on earth for God, because God was in us and gave us the power to be able to do that, and therefore we will be given charge, and we shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. All right? Is that it?
And he said he listens faithfully to your programs and will be listening for these topics. He said everything he has heard so far is right on the money. He said he received some CDs of the programs that you do, but he already listens to you. He wants a listing of all the audio messages you have done in the past so he can listen to them all. He is very thankful for your stand and said you are worth listening to.
Okay. Well, I thank you, my friend. It's not me that's doing the talking, it's the Lord. And the Lord is more than worthwhile to listen to because it's for your very soul. So remember, the power of mortification or killing the bad evil in our flesh. And this comes from the effectiveness of Christ's death within us. So I see my time is up, and I'm going to continue on this tomorrow. And send your questions in. I'll be glad to answer them. And I'll answer them right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. So those of you that want the Spirit, you have all these hang-ups, you can't, you don't have any willpower or anything, let God put that willpower in you. Let Him mortify you so that you can have God's life. All you're doing is turning over a worthless, no-good life. You see these things on television that seem to be exalting the things that are going on the Hollywood Strip and in movies. A lot of those people are stone broke, and they're going crazy because they see that there's no fulfillment in their life. But what you have to do is, what you'll see, you'll have a reason for living and a reason for dying once you accept the Lord. So say this. Accept Him by saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins, my former filthy sins, away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. So now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of Program number 364, it's free, including the postage and the handling. Please specify whether you want a CD or a tape copy.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow so that you can hear the continuation of this message and whatever else it is that the Lord wants me to bring. Until then, keep on marching as a Christian soldier in this world. Hang on to everything God says. Here I am singing Onward, Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus we